The Eddie Cantor Show.
Last week, Harry Bonzel quit Eddie Cantor, thinking he had won $10,000 on a racehorse. After he quit his job, he learned the horse was disqualified. So tonight, we find Harry drowning his sorrows at Joe's Bar and Grill.
All right, bartender, fill it up again.
Now, look, Bonzel, don't you think you've had enough? You can hardly move now.
I don't care. Fill it up once more.
Okay. But this is the last time I fill this bowl with pretzels. Look, Harry, why don't you forget your pride and ask Cantor to take you back?
Never. He'll come crawling to me. Just let him go on the air tonight without me and flop.
You know, he may get another announcer.
Another announcer? You think the public would stand for that? And besides, no announcer would take my job away from me. We announcers stick together.
Quiet, Harry. Here's the program.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Eddie Cantor Show, and tonight I'm forced to tell you that Harry Bonzel will not be with us.
Did you hear that, Bonzel?
Sure. They always applaud when they hear my name.
Ah, but listen. In place of Harry Bonzel, we bring you that genial, jovial gentleman from the Jack Benny program, Don Wilson. What?
Don Wilson taking your place? I thought you said you announcers stuck together.
Well, have you ever seen Wilson? He looks like two announcers stuck together. Listen to him.
This is yours truly, Don Wilson, introducing Eddie Cantor, singing our opening song, Did You Ever Get That Feeling in the Moonlight?
Oh, yeah? Well, they can't get away with this, doing a show without me. I'm going to see our sponsor, Mr. Moran. I'll show Cantor I'm no jellyfish. I'm full of spirit. I'm full of fight.
Okay, Bonzel, but before you go, I'll tell you something else you're full of. My pretzels.
Never get that feeling in the moonlight, that wonderful feeling that you want to be kissed. You're strolling in the park, the stars so bright above. You'd love to love somebody, but there's nobody there to love. Did you ever get that longing on a June night, that wonderful longing you can never resist? Did you ever get that feeling in the moonlight, that feeling that says you want to be kissed? Did you ever get that feeling in the moonlight, that feeling you want to be kissed? Why, you're strolling in the park, the stars are bright above. You'd love to love somebody, but there's nobody there to love. Did you ever get that longing on a June night, that longing you just can't resist? Did you ever get that feeling in the moonlight, the feeling that says you want to be kissed? Watch your lipstick. The feeling that says you want to be kissed.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And Don, I want to thank you for replacing Harry Bonzel.
Well, Eddie, I enjoy having a chance to help you out, but since Harry's not working and has a wife and baby, I just wouldn't feel right taking his check.
I can understand, Don. What do you want me to do with it?
You take it. Cash it and give me the money.
Well, that's mighty decent of you. Don, look, why don't you come on my program regularly? What future is there working for a man Benny's age?
Now, wait a minute, Eddie. Wait a minute. Jack isn't any older than you are. Why, when you were a big star playing the Palace Theater, Jack's father used to take him to see you, and Jack was still wearing short pants.
So was his father. The tricks they used to get him for half price.
Now, look, Eddie, stop pretending to be so young. One thing you must admit. For 10 years, you've been dyeing your hair black.
That I admit, Don. I got tired of being a blonde, that's all.
Oh, stop hiding your age. Why, you've got gray hair. You've got daughters who are married.
Don, this gray hair is because of the daughters who aren't married. Seriously, Don, why don't you leave Benny and work for me? Don, have you ever heard the kind of a man I am to work for?
Yes, I have.
It's not true. You'll see when you meet our happy little group. First of all, our young maestro, Leonard Seuss. Leonard, Leonard, come out from behind that bass drum.
Yes, sir.
Leonard, the way you act, people would think I beat you. He's shy, Don. He came to me skinny and undernourished. But with the treatment I've given him, I put 10 pounds on the kid already. Haven't I, Leonard?
Yeah. My lumps alone weigh 6 pounds.
Very funny, Leonard. You see how it is with my group down? Everybody gets laughs.
Yeah.
Leonard, you get lots of laughs, don't you?
Yeah. That's what I get my lumps for.
Leonard, will you stop making up things and done? Now I'd like you to meet another very happy member of our cast, Thelma Carpenter. Say, Thelma, I want you to meet a famous radio personality. You've heard of Mr. Don Wilson?
Oh, yes. He's on that Rochester program.
You see, Don? Everybody gets laughs on my program. I'm not like Benny. Take my writers. Do you think I lock them in a room like Jack does? No. I tell the boys to have fun. I send them out to the racetrack. If they happen to think of a joke, I take it.
If they happen to win, you take that, too.
Ooh, he made a funny.
Ooh, another lump.
I'll teach you who's boss around here. Believe me, I've...
There they are, Mr. Moran.
Thank you, Bobtail.
Ooh, that's Mr. Moran. That's my sponsor.
That old grouch puss is your sponsor? Oh, he called you a grouch puss, Mr. Moran. He called you a grouch puss.
Well, that's very...
Grouch puss? Young man, I will have you know that you're speaking to Joseph Moran, head of our radio department, sponsor of this program, and president of our corporation.
Yeah. That's telling him, grouch puss.
What?
Oh, I mean Mr. Moran.
You stay outside, Bonzel. I shall handle it.
Yes, sir.
Why, what's wrong, Mr. Moran?
Canter, you had no right to go on the air without Harry Bonzel.
Well, Mr. Moran, last week he quit. What else could I do?
Nevertheless, he's our trademark. Our program is identified with him. After all, would anyone go to see Durante without his nose? No. Would anyone go to see a Turby without his piano? No. Would anyone go to see Dorothy L'Amour without her sarong?
Mr. Moran, come back. It isn't playing anywhere.
Yes, sir. Getting back to you, Canter, without Bonzel, the program is nothing.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Moran. Whether Bonzel is on the program or not should be my decision. I thought that in our setup, I was head of this program.
In our setup, you are the head. But you don't hire anyone without me. You don't fire anyone without me. In fact, you don't make a move without me. Now, do you understand our setup?
Yeah, you're MacArthur and I'm Hirohito.
Exactly. And I'm putting Bonzel back on the program, and if you don't like it, you can leave.
Well, look, Mr. Moran, I admit Bonzel is a good announcer, but if I leave, who would be able to sing my songs? Who? Who?
If you knew Susie like I know Susie.
Harry!
Oh, oh.
Harry!
Oh, what a gal. There's none so classy.
What is he doing?
As this fair lassie. Oh, oh. Holy Moses, what a chassis. We went riding. She didn't balk. From the country, I'm the one that had to walk.
Hey.
If you knew Susie like I knew Susie. Oh, oh, what a gal.
Mr. Moran.
I used to sing tenor with the Glendale Brotherhood of Brewers. A very fine job, Bonzel. The program is yours.
All right. If that's the way you feel about it, I'll go. But I want you to know one thing. Once I walk through this door, I won't be back. I quit. Aha! When I said I quit, I thought you'd call me back.
What?
When I said I quit, I thought you'd call me back.
Get out, Canter, and take this big, fat monstrosity with you.
Now, wait a minute, you. I was hired to appear on this program, and I'm not going to leave.
You get out, or I'll get Sabu to ride you out.
He made it funny.
You keep still, Harry. Look, Mr. Moran... Don Wilson is the famous announcer on the Lucky Strike program. Come on, Don. And before I go, I want you to know, Moran, that I have a contract, Mr. Moran. That's what I've got a contract, and I'll take you to court. And if I lose the case, I'll take you to a superior court. And if I lose there, I'll take you to the Supreme Court. And if I lose there, I'll take you to the highest court in the country.
What court is that?
Mr. Anthony, that's who.
Come on!
Don, before we leave the studio, I'd like to hear Thelma Carpenter sing just for sentiment. Let's just open the door a little, huh?
All right, Eddie.
Huh? Listen.
What's the use of wondering if he's good or if he's bad? Or if you like the way he wears his hat? Oh, what's the use of wondering if he's good or if he's bad? He's your fella and you love him. That's all there is to that. Common sense may tell you that the ending will be sad. And now's the time to break and run away. But what's the use of wondering if the ending will be sad? He's your fella and you love him. There's nothing more to say. Something made him the way that he is, whether he's false or true. And something gave him the things that are his. One of those things is you. So when he wants you kisses, you will give them to the lad. And anywhere he leads you, you will walk. And any time he needs you, you'll go running there like mad. You're his girl, and he's your fella. And all the rest is talk.
Wonderful, Thelma. It was great.
Oh, there he is. There he is. Cantor, I thought the sponsor told you to get out of here. Mr. Moran. Oh, Mr. Moran.
I'm going, you big fat tattletale, you. Come on, Don. Let's go over to Joe's Bar and Grill where we can talk this over.
So now Barnzell's back and you're out of a job, huh, Cantor?
That's right, Joe. But I don't care. I'll get another job. I'll find some kind of work.
I know, Eddie, but you haven't got just yourself to consider. Don't forget you've got five children. Too bad you didn't stop and think.
Because I've got five children, it's too bad I didn't stop and think. It's too bad I didn't think and stop. I should never have gotten married. But I'll get a job. Something will turn up.
Well, in the meantime, Joe, give me another one.
You've had five already, Wilson.
I know, but that's the only way I can drown my sorrows.
Wilson, will you please tell me, how is another steak going to drown your sorrows?
Put some gravy on it. Lots of gravy.
You sure you don't want anything, Cantor?
No, thanks. Without a job, who can eat?
What have you got to worry about, Eddie? A guy with your dough. Huh. Jack, then he told me you've got so much money stacked under your mattress, you wake up every morning with a nosebleed.
No. Don, there's something I might as well tell you because soon the whole world will know about it. I, Eddie Cantor, haven't got a nickel.
What? Eddie, I always figured you were a wealthy guy. No. What happened to all your money?
Bad investments, Don. I lost $50,000 investing at the wrong time. First, I put my money in four up, then in five up, then six up.
What happened?
I pulled out too soon. A guy came along, invests in seven up, and makes a fortune.
Oh, Eddie, so you lost $50,000. Yeah. But you must have had something left.
Sure, I had something left. So Jessel comes along with a big scheme. Cost me $200,000.
And it cost you $200,000?
Sure. How did I know miniature golf would never come back?
But, Eddie, I read only last week you bought a big warehouse in Beverly Hills.
I did, Don. That was the last of my money. It looked like a good deal. The first three floors were stocked with bread, and the top three floors had eggs.
Well, that should be a good investment, bread and eggs. Didn't you make any money on it?
No, Don. Last night, the whole warehouse went up in flames.
And now you're broke?
Yeah, unless I run into some guy who wants to buy six floors of French toast.
Here's your steak, Wilson.
Thanks. Now, how about some bread?
Well, we got white, rye, and whole wheat.
Fine. If you got some pumpernickel, bring that along, too.
You want anything, Cantor?
The way I feel, I'd like some tea.
Black tea or green tea?
DDT.
With cream or lemon?
With broken glass. Gosh, Don, I don't know how you can have the heart to sit there and stuff yourself. Look at you. Doesn't mean anything to you to see a man like me who used to be on top out of a job, poor?
Yeah, it is, but it brings a lump in my throat.
A lump in your throat? Put some gravy on it and swallow it, will you?
Ah, gee, Cantor, I can't get over it. You being broke.
Joe, I don't mind losing my program, but how can I keep people from finding out I'm a bum?
Stay off that radio.
Ooh, he made it funny. Well, I've just got to go out and find some kind of a job. Anything. Just so I could get a little money to get started again.
Oh, for goodness sakes, Eddie. Jack Benny will lend you some money.
Ooh, what a funny he made.
No, I don't need help from anyone. I'm going out and get a job. I may be down and out now, but I'll be on top again. I'll be on top again, just as sure as my name is Eddie Cantor. Surer. Gosh, I knew I'd be on top again, but I didn't expect it to happen as fast as this. I wish that Bonzel could see me now. To think a man my age could start again at the bottom of the ladder and look at me now in just a short time back on top of the ladder.
Hey, Cantor, either pick them oranges or get off that ladder.
Madam, the employment agency sent me over. They said you were looking for a gardener?
I was, but I won't need a gardener now. You see, I've news that my boy is all through fighting. He's going to turn in his helmet and gas mask and come home.
Oh, your boy is coming home from overseas.
No, from Warner Brothers.
The employment agency said I could go to work for a glamour star who lives here. Camden Drive. Ann Sheridan lives on the street. Ann Sheridan. This must be my lucky day. I hope she's home. Hello. Hello. How do you do? Russian, I thought Ann Sheridan was living here in this house. I'm disappointed.
Ha! He's disappointed.
Russian, please be serious. If I can't work at all, I'll be standing on the corner of Hollywood and Vine, begging.
Kevin!
Yeah?
I'd never allow you to stand begging on the corner of Hollywood and Vine.
You wouldn't?
That's my corner. Take Sunset.
Look, Russian. Russian, don't you understand, please?
Yes?
I've lost my radio job. I'm desperate. I'm even willing to take this job as your valet.
Very well, Kemper. You may join my staff.
Tell me, what are my duties?
If I ring once, that is for the upstairs maid.
Mm-hmm.
If I ring twice, that is for the downstairs maid.
What about me?
You get your own maid. Yep.
Russian.
Yes?
Russian, how many maids have you got?
One.
Yeah, but I don't understand. You said you had an upstairs maid and a downstairs maid?
Well, All right. I had, when I'm upstairs, she's downstairs. And when I'm downstairs, she's upstairs. It's a standoff.
All right, Russian. But tell me what my duties are.
Oh, yes. In the morning, you will go to the doorstep, pick up what the milkman left, and carry it into my house.
The milk?
No, me.
Maybe we'll find a new script on the doorstep, huh? Russian, I don't understand. The milkman brings you home? You mean to say that you drink?
That is quite so.
Yeah?
Every morning for breakfast, I want my own formula for rum and Coca-Cola.
Your own formula? What is that?
First, I am taking 1 jigger of Cuban rum.
Yes?
2 jiggers of Jamaica rum.
Mm-hmm.
Then I am adding 3 jiggers of Puerto Rican rum.
Yeah?
And finally, 1 jigger of Hawaiian rum.
But, Russian, you haven't once mentioned Coca-Cola.
After all that rum, who can say Coca-Cola?
All right, Russian, go on with my duties.
After you wake me up in the morning...
Yes?
Immediately, lift the Venetian blinds.
The Venetian blinds, where are they?
Across the street in Betty Grable's house.
Russian, tell me, when do I start?
First, I must check on your references.
Yes?
I have to be careful, you know.
Yeah?
Only recently, I had trouble with my chauffeur.
Tell me, what happened?
You see...
Yeah?
One morning, I overheard him planning to take my car... and run away with my wife.
Yeah.
And that night, while I was asleep, it happened.
He took your car and ran away with your wife?
Most, yes.
Russian, if you knew he was going to take your car and run away with your wife, why did you leave the keys in the car?
Silly boy.
Oh, I'd never work for you. I'm getting out of here.
Thank you.
before I hire you, would you mind letting me hear your voice again, Cantor? What would you like me to sing?
Try this telegram.
Yeah, but I... Look, I shouldn't have to audition for Western Union. After all, the public has heard my voice.
But that was on the radio.
Yeah.
This is a bit more risky. You see, you'll be right in the house with them.
I'm willing to take the chance, sir. Where's my first telegram?
Here you are. Now, hurry.
Wait a minute. This is the name and address?
Yes, and deliver it right away.
But, sir, you don't understand. I wouldn't deliver this telegram for $1,000,000.
All right, Cantor, but it means a dime.
All right, give it to me. Mr. Von Zell?
Yes?
Congratulations to you. Eddie Cantor is through. It's signed, Joe Moran. To him and to you.
Well, that's very well sung, my boy. Here, take this. It will help you get something to eat.
Good. What is it?
Your teeth. You left them in your dressing room. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if I know Cantor, and I do know Cantor, he'll be around next week trying to make more trouble for me, but I'm not worried. I'm going to phone Jack Benny and Bob Hope to come over and help me. That's what I'll do. Bob may not be as funny as Cantor, and Jack may not pay as much money as Cantor. Hey, Mr. Moran, Eddie must still be around. He slipped a line into the script.